Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is A Vague Idea. It's a comedy trivia podcast. I'm Nate Regolia. And each week we subject our guests to a list of topics to find out if they have a vague idea. And this week we're going to be talking about something that doesn't do much, but it sure claims to. We're talking about snake oil and other fake products and or fake salespeople. And we're going to do that with two fantastic returning guests. Our first returning guest is the author of How to Break an Evil Curse, as well as a contributor to the recent horror anthology, Dead of Winter. It's Laura Morrison. Laura, welcome back.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Happy to have you. Have you ever fallen into some snake oil?
I am, you know, a super kind of hippie sort of person. So I'm sure, though I have no examples right now, I'm sure I've fallen into like the snake oil, the realm of like, what, like supplements, homeopathy sort of thing before.
Sure.
Oh, I was, yeah, totally. I can't think of the example right now, so never mind. But yes, I know I have. I totally did back in my 20s. I'm a sucker.
Think on that a little bit. We'll come back to it. Our second returning guest is an organic baseball stitching thread producer with a budget of $768 billion. He is currently vying for the same contract the Pentagon will get handed to it. For no particular reason, it's Jason Lang.
Howdy, howdy.
How you doing, Jason?
I'm good. I'm good. I am spitting distance from the epicenter of just take ginseng and it will cure polio here in the San Francisco Bay Area.
And I mean, you don't see any polio around, do you?
I know. I mean, you don't. And you also don't see ginseng. Well, I mean, you see lots of ginseng. Like lots of it. And yeah, so I guess it works.
I believe that two things that can't be directly correlated but happen at the same time must be
I mean, you just described like the last 5 years of our existence. So yes. I agree with that.
have you fallen for any snake oil in your life, Jason?
Well, I mean, there was New Coke.
Okay. Yeah.
And I was told it was good.
Who told you it was good other than Coke?
Media?
Did they? Was that a thing?
The commercials?
Well, sure. I mean, Coca-Cola told you New Coke was good.
That's who was telling me? I thought it was part of the zeitgeist. Okay.
Oh, yeah. You got to look for the fine print at the top that says advertisement.
Oh, that's my problem. That's my problem.
Right.
No, but I've always found I love the whole notion of like early Americana, like before the FDA, where like if I wanted to just like get away from this like tech life that I'm in, that like 100 years ago I could set up like a lemonade stand outside my house and sell like whiskey infused with heroin and they wouldn't arrest me.
But
that's fine. Results. Because they also didn't have lawyers back then, so they couldn't sue me.
That's why you need a traveling medicine show.
Oh yeah,
because we gotta get out of town because when people bust out their rifles.
Oh God, if I had a nickel. But no, I have never been a victim of snake oil or no, I haven't, because I am a firm believer of better living through better chemistry, and ginger root is not going to cure my polio. So no.
All right. Yeah. I've taken a lot of different kinds of supplements over the course of my life. You know, your echinaceas, your zinc supplements, things like that. I mean, and I think there's an extent to which there's always a placebo effect at play with those sorts of things, and that's okay. I've never owned like a copper bracelet designed to demagnetize my fields.
That's your line. You'll shove dandelion root up your ass, but God forbid you wear that copper. Okay.
I mean, suppository is the only way to take it. But I did at one point own a Nintendo Power Glove, which though not a curative, is definitely a product that did not do what it was supposed to do. And that was evident.
Where are you going with this?
Well, just not anywhere where you're okay. going with it already. No, I just mean that the Nintendo Power Glove, as demonstrated in the movie The Wizard, which gave us the premiere of Super Mario Brothers 3, they made that thing look like it was amazing and could do things that it definitely could not actually do in practice, which is a trait of snake oil.
Yeah.
So, Laura, did you think of any that you've fallen for?
Did I? So, the example I can think of, I didn't fall for it, but so I have rheumatoid arthritis. It's been in remission for like a million years ever since my pregnancies.
I'm
so
happy to hear that.
Yeah,
good,
but
good.
When I
Yay.
Yes, but when I had it, that was when loved ones started giving me all sorts of things like copper bracelets, because copper, and it was like this, it's anti-inflammatory, put it on your wrists so they'll feel better. And so I felt guilty, and so this was in my young 20s, and I didn't know how to like stand up for myself or like whatever yet, so I was always wearing these copper bracelets that loved ones had given me to try to help me out. So, and then that, like, I feel like when I had my arthritis situation first flare up, that's when I was just like kind of desperate because it hurt. So I can understand why people do fall into believing in these sorts of things, because if you're like desperate to make something stop, maybe the doctors don't know everything. So I mean, in retrospect, I know it was stupid, but there were things that, like, I mean, every vitamin is going to, you know, not every vitamin, but vitamins, they do good things. So, I mean, you know, you can justify it by saying, well, at least it's not going to hurt me. But it was like various things in that period of my life that I'm sure I kind of bought into. Even if I didn't believe it, I was like, why not try? So that's my sort of snake oil backstory, I guess.
Oh yeah,
the copper bracelets were cute. At least they were nice.
Well, hey, if they functioned as jewelry as well, then that's great. And I think, you know, truthfully, there's nothing wrong with searching for unique solutions.
Yeah,
it's just always interesting when we explore just the pure scope of industry that happens out of these things, where it's like, well, we don't actually provide a product necessarily at all. I mean, we provide something. We exchange a good for currency, but whether or not it works is specious at best.
Yeah.
Let's hop into round number one. All right. Jason, for round number one, do you have a vague idea about Simpson and Son revitalizing tonic?
Simpson and Son revitalizing tonic. I have this scary feeling that, because it's you, it is a Simpsons reference of Grandpa Simpson and Homer basically doing kind of the old timey 20s, kind of like showing up, and actually before the 20s, like 1800s, kind of like a cart and bottles, and really, again, what they're selling is like fulminated chalk and flannel, like actual bits of flannel in it, and it cures like the gout and blindness, and if you're bald, it will give you hair, but if you have too much hair, it will take some of it away. That's kind of where I'm going, because it's you, because there's got to be a Simpsons reference in here somewhere.
Yeah, no, I
that's
mean,
all I got.
You're not wrong about the Simpsons reference, so good job on that. Laura, do you have anything to add about Simpson and Son revitalizing tonic?
I don't know. Jason had a really good answer. I'm going to definitely go with it's probably the Simpsons.
Good piggyback. Since,
I'm going to assume that heroin or one of the other old classic additives are involved somehow, because that seems to be quite a thing.
Oh my God, I would pay money to see the Simpsons actually do like a heroin callback. That would be, I'd watch that.
They did have a marijuana episode.
Maybe
they had several marijuana episodes, actually.
Yeah, I guess they probably can't.
And a mushrooms episode.
Do a heroin thing, could they? I don't know. I'm going to say there's some very shady ingredients in this concoction. And the Simpsons.
Yeah. you know, I can't speak too deeply to the ingredients in the concoction, but the revitalizing tonic was something that Grandpa had made that was supposed to be an aphrodisiac. So Homer and Marge are having some marriage troubles in the bedroom. Grandpa gives them the bottle, and Homer drinks it, and then suddenly they're just banging it out left and right. The word gets around the town. Everybody's parents now are drinking this tonic, and they're having a great old time. And that leads the kids to conjecture that potentially all of their parents are reverse vampires who cannot go out at night because they're all doing that. to which Milhouse says, "We're through the looking glass, people."
Yeah,
I would not have guessed that.
But it's a great episode about, you know, Homer and Grandpa bonding, and then eventually, because Grandpa gets obsessed with the sales of the tonic, he and Homer have a fractured relationship moment, and that's pretty much the whole thing. But yeah, it's a bit of snake oil, but it also seemed to work because it was a cartoon. So they could, who knows? I mean,
it was placebo.
Yeah.
It was a placebo thing.
I mean, first off, are you going to talk to your parents about what's going on in the bedroom? And second, if you do, let's just say you do, Laura, Nate, if your respective father handed you a bottle of something and said, "Here, take this, it'll fix everything between the sheets." I mean, that's like another 5 years of therapy right there.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, and that's why Grandpa in the episode says, you know, because Homer acts revolted, and then Grandpa says, "I had sex."
Oh,
ew, which, you know, no. you gotta remember.
I mean, yes, he did, but ew.
Yeah.
It was. It was something that Grandpa's great-grandfather stumbled on by accident while trying to create a cheap substitute for holy water.
Okay.
That's just classic mid-90s Simpsons writing right there.
Priests were expensive back then.
True.
So.
And doing exorcisms and stuff, you know, they're busy.
Yeah.
Great job. I'm going to give each of you 1 point. I'm going to jump into round number 2. And Laura, do you have a vague idea about Clark Stanley? Clark Stanley.
I don't know the name, but considering the topic, I'm going to go out on a limb and say he is the original snake oil person. And I only know this because there's a podcast I listened to and the topic was snake oil. So...
Oh.
Maintenance phase. It's a really good podcast.
Michael. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't
love
remember
that
his
podcast.
Last name.
I can't remember.
Yeah,
his name
he also
either,
does. You're Wrong About, which is a great show.
I love that one too.
Or he did. Yeah, they he did just a... left it.
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
I'm not all caught up on them, so I did not know that. But yeah, so I'm gonna assume it's. I learned from their snake oil episode. The dude who I'm gonna say you just mentioned is he. Is the originator of the snake oil. And the history is that the Chinese people working on the railroads, back when the railroads were being built, they had this pain tonic that actually worked. It's snake oil tonic. And it was Chinese snakes of some variety. And they boiled them and got the oil from those snakes. And the white people noticed and wanted to appropriate the Chinese medicine that worked. But they don't have Chinese snakes here. So they just like boiled random snakes and assumed it would, and just like said it would work. And so the original snake oil actually was, it did work as like a topical thing. But the white people appropriating Chinese culture thing, boiling random snakes they could get their hands on, didn't work. And this dude, who I'm going to assume you're talking about, just at a, what you're just guessing, was the first one to sell those things.
Yeah,
the fake stuff.
That's real good, Laura. Real good, Jason.
This is all if I got the right name.
Jason, how do you feel about? Seeing the possibility of winning this episode slip away by round 2.
No. You know.
So I mean,
Jesus Christ. If you're not, you are no matter what, because you invented it. Because literally my answer was going to be is I'm picturing a white guy in an ill-fitting suit in the 1800s with one of those handlebar mustaches and a bowler. And it literally is a bottle of like alcohol, heroin. And he sits there and goes, it'll cure all that ails you. And when the town realized that they were giving away their pension money to him, he's like, oh shit, they're going to kill me and I'm going to get the hell out of there. And the reason why it was snake oil is because there was a picture of a snake on the label on the bottle. That is literally all I have. It's just some white guy taking advantage of idiots. That's it.
You know, you're really not, neither of you are far off. Jason, that was really good. So Clark Stanley.
Don't patronize me.
No. It really was. Like, look, the score is going to be tighter than I thought. I thought after Laura answered that we were looking at like, uh-oh. But we're looking at like, uh-oh. So Clark Stanley was born somewhere around 1854 in Abilene, Texas. And he became the self-styled rattlesnake king and marketed snake oil as a patent medicine. He had a big old handlebar mustache. He wore a different kind of hat, not a bowler, but he wore a hat. And his suit appears to be ill-fitting in the photos that I've found. There is a snake depicted on the bottle of Clark Stanley's snake liniment oil. And what he said was that he studied as a working cowboy 2 years with the Hopi in Arizona and learned the secrets of snake oil from them. And then with the help of a Boston druggist, he started marketing rattlesnake oil to people all over the East Coast, which, of course, that's what you do, right? You go to a faraway place, which in the 1800s, if you got to Arizona, holy shit, if you come back, you've got to have figured something out.
Dude, no. In the 1800s, if you're in Boston, going a long way away is Vermont.
Yeah, what I'm saying. Like, come on. You literally traveled to a foreign land to go to Arizona.
I don't think he went to Arizona. I think he just went to Vermont and made it up.
He just hid in the mountains for a little
bit. Oh, yeah, you got to understand here. Now that what I did was, is like I went down there, and we didn't have any cars at the time, but, you know, I got on my horse. And that's what we say here in Boston, is a horse. And then I went out there, and I went to Vermont, and I was in the middle of the woods, and there was a guy with long hair. And he said he was a Hopi Indian. And I'm like, well, of course you are. And then I went back.
I'm hoping I'm an Indian too, by the time I'm
hoping I'm an Indian too.
That's terrible.
I hope no one's offended by it. And I also understand that Indian is a very bad pejorative and I should use indigenous, but you know what? It's the 1800s and I've got a mustache and a bowler.
Yeah. We're role-playing right now. We are not expressing our own views. So in 1916, after the passage of the Pure Food and Drug Act, the government evaluated Clark Stanley's snake oil and found that it had no value whatsoever. It appeared to contain mineral oil and a fatty compound that might be beef combined with capsaicin from chili peppers and turpentine.
Ooh.
So the Food and Drug Purity Act. I'm just imagining them handing like various things to interns and go eat this.
You gotta drink this.
Depending on what happens, like, nah, it's okay. Or like, ooh, yeah, we're gonna need another Dave.
Dave is just a 9-year-old boy who's like, well, gee golly, mister, I guess I'll drink it.
I'll drink anything for 2 bits, sir.
So yeah, apparently Clark Stanley was then subsequently fined $20, which was roughly equivalent to $470 in 2019 money. So yeah, there you go. Godfather of bullshitting people with bullshit. So Laura, I'm going to give you 3 points and Jason 2 points.
Was that the guy who stole it from the... from the Chinese people on the railroads, or
he did not? He just claimed to have studied with the Hopi Indians, but right, because you talked about the actual boiling of snakes, which is something he said he did.
That's how I got that.
You got that extra point.
I get you.
That guy was from Boston. He never saw a train his entire life.
Probably never saw a snake either.
No.
I mean, other than the ones that, you know, St. Patrick drove out of Ireland. Show, 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 show.
And we'd like to apologize to our Irish Americans for that particularly bad shaw 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 shaw.
Yeah, I know. I should have really gone for it. Shaw 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 shaw. Okay, great job. We're gonna jump into our first game. It's time to play Fuck, Marry, Kill. And this week on Fuck, Marry, Kill, you have to choose between some epically salesy salespeople to decide which ones you want to be with. Which ones you want to spend an evening with, and which ones you'd rather see eradicated from existence altogether. Your choices are Elizabeth Holmes, who's currently on trial for her fake blood testing startup Theranos.
She's a local. Yay!
Yeah, yeah. San Francisco Bay Area local, Elizabeth Holmes. Your second choice is Zig Ziglar, the man whose name is fun to say and who made a name for himself in the 70s and 80s as a salesman of salesmanship. He would literally run conferences where he taught people how to sell things. That's all he did. So he's literally selling to people, which has got to be Inception level bullshit. And last but not least, beloved television kitchen gadget hawker Ron Popeil. So who are you going to fuck? Who are you going to marry? And who are you going to kill? Jason.
Well, I got to be very careful because my wife is going to hear this episode. So first off, the Theranos chick just recently, I think it was either today or yesterday, because she's currently in trial. Because apparently people don't like what she did.
The documentary on HBO is really worth watching too, because I recognize the scope.
Really good.
Having been in Colorado at the time that it was going on, I didn't realize how much it, like, she had gotten into a bunch of Walgreens and a bunch of people got incorrect blood test results that they paid for.
I've lived here in the Bay Area nearly 12 years. I've been watching all of it since day one.
Yeah.
And it is, it's the whole thing about, but I think it was today. No, it was yesterday during the trial. She decided to go, it's not my fault. It's the scientists that I have on staff.
Oh,
they gave me dirty. She totally is throwing her science staff under the bus. And I'm like, ooh, you have an exit plan. Okay.
That's Trump level heroism right there.
Oh my God. It's amazing. So I'm going to have to, this is going to get really weird. I'm going to have to go with the Zig Ziglar to marry.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I mean, this is like the Tony Robbins kind of style of like, you know what? I'm going to tell you how to make $1 million. Come to my convention. And then I just wish he would just like show up on stage and go like, here's how you make $1 million. You rent out a convention hall and then you charge $300 a ticket and then you show up. Yeah. That's how you make $1 million doing that.
You get 400 people in here. There you go.
I'm good to go.
I'm not good with math, but some number of people will sell.
but it's like, it's security. And it's not, honestly, it's the semantics of like, there are people who they can be influenced and everything like that. But really at the end of the day, it's like, no one got hurt. Nobody really got hurt.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I mean, I don't think there's anything negative said about Zig Ziglar. He's just of like, he's of that era where everybody looked at what capitalism was as like, this is just perfect. And this guy's
I'm going to fucking do this. Yeah. Always so I marry him because exactly. I'd like that security. Mm-hmm. I would like that mm-hmm. security in life. Oh, yeah. That's the marry. This is where it gets weird. Cause the problem is that Ron Popeil is dead. I believe he's already passed us.
I'm going to verify that real quick for you.
Yeah, verify that real quick.
Don't.
Pretty sure he's dead.
What's his name, by the way?
Ron Popeil.
Yes.
He
just died July 28th of this year.
Okay, so he hasn't been dead that long. Okay.
I'm just looking at him to see what they look like.
Jason, if he was properly wrapped, he might still be a little warm.
Yeah, see, that's my thing, because what happened was with Theranos, bitch. Uh-huh. Is like she truly, truly, truly could have killed people.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean, I mean, truly, truly, truly. Like, I like her level of capitalism and her level of the whole valley, I'm going to be the next Steve Jobs kind of thing. That narcissism is dangerous.
She's a very like living embodiment of the trolley problem.
Oh, right? Yeah, totally.
Like her vision for her company was, I don't care how many people I have to kill to get to the solution that leads to fewer people dying.
Right. Yeah. And
even
like,
if that was like her entire life was just killing people. And then on her deathbed, she was like,
because that's what it would have been.
Yeah.
Because that's what it been. Cause she did all the shortcuts and she did all of that. Like she didn't So her, I would kill.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say this, I would tender sweet love to the man who invented the pocket fisherman. Cause that was his, that's what started him. The pocket fisherman. He didn't invent it. He just bought a shitload of them and went on TV. But he's dead.
Oh, yeah.
And that makes
it weird.
He also
did the Chop-O-Matic and the Veg-O-Matic.
There's so many Matics.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, he was very about the Matics. Okay. I love it. I love those answers. Laura, what do you think?
I was going to go the same as Jason until you started talking about the kitchen gadgets. And now, so, like, they're all shady.
What?
I'll get there. And it's not as weird as you think. I don't like shady people. And so my first instinct would be to kill all of them. But I will kill Elizabeth Holmes because she is, you're right. She is the only one. I mean, nobody else is going to die except by.
She has shark eyes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's totally dead inside.
I didn't look her up. I looked up the guys. I wanted to see what they looked like before I made my decision. They're both old.
I mean, Ron Popeil legit had like warm daddy vibes for most of the time that he was on TV. You wouldn't be like, wow, that's a hot guy. But you would definitely be like, oh, I mean, I could hang out with him. That's kind of nice.
And
Zig Ziglar kind of looks like a Zig Ziglar would look, I think, you know.
He does. Yeah, looking at the pictures of him. I was going to say I would marry him. I would marry Zig because it'd be nice to hang out in hotels while he did his thing and just get room service and swim in the pool and hot tub and all that.
That's
just
a fringe kinda, benefit. And, that's
and,
good.
And see you'd all be the, in the VIP. You'd be in VIP. Like, you would be VIP.
Mm-hmm. And I could just like all the various, you know, cities, see the sights while he's doing his scam, and that would have been fun. But also, you know, I think I'm still going to go with him because that would be good. Fun fact, when I first got married, my husband was a traveling consultant, so I pretty much did that with him because I didn't have a job yet, and he was traveling all around, and I spent like a few months in Miami just kind of chatting with the cleaning ladies and going swimming. So yeah, I was going to, the other guy, I don't even know who he is. What was his name again?
Ron Popeil.
Yeah. I was going to go with him because when you said kitchen gadgets, because I like cooking and I like little, you know, little kitchen doodads. So, I would have probably gotten a lot of samples, but I think the town to town hanging out in hotels would be super fun and I wouldn't have to clean and I wouldn't have to cook. And so that's what I'll do. And Ron, I'll just do a one night stand with Ron, I guess.
Hey, and probably on that one night stand, you can try out Mr. Microphone, which is something that Ronco also sold.
And what
allowed
is that?
It allowed you to transmit your voice to an AM/FM radio. It was basically a microphone that had a transmitter on it that could be received by anybody's radio. So you could sound like you were doing a podcast back in the 80s.
That's awesome. That's amazing.
He also made the Inside the Shell Egg Scrambler, the Showtime Rotisserie, which was a small rotisserie oven designed to be used on the countertop for pieces of lamb or chicken, the Solid Flavor Injector, which we don't need to go into on this podcast, but on A Vague Idea After Dark, we can. There's also something called the Drain Buster, the Smokeless Ashtray, the electric food dehydrator, the automatic pasta maker, the rhinestone stud setter, which I think is just a, that's just a
bedazzler. First of all,
vajazzler. No, I know.
That's after dark. That's after
else.
Dark.
Yeah, I portmanteaued something dark. Else. Also, this should be something called the cap snaffler, which was a bottle opener. But I'm just like, Cap Snaffler legit sounds like a Dr. Seuss character.
Ron Popeil is the reason why all of our parents have that crap drawer of all of that stuff. He is legitimately the reason.
Yeah, the thing that has the electric screwdriver in it that only worked one time and then broke.
Bless that man. Bless that man.
Great job, both of you. I'm going to give you each 2 points on Fuck, Marry, Kill. And let's hop into round number 3, shall we? Mm. So, Laura, do you have a vague idea about Daffy's elixir?
No. Daffy's elixir. I don't know. I'm going to go back to heroin. I'm going to say it's one of those ones that they were marketing to the kids, or not to, to the parents of the kids who wanted to like calm their kids down and shut them up. And because there were some that were like specifically for children. And it had, you know, heroin was one of the main ingredients because you could just like, you know, get heroin places back in the old days before the FDA and all that. So I'm going to say it was one of those concoctions they sold to the parents who couldn't handle parenting.
All right. Jason, what do you think? Daffy's elixir.
So I kind of know this one.
Okay.
So I'm trying to remember. Okay. I think it was kind of a generic term that was given to, like, I think it had like a generic patent kind of thing. And it has something to do with like stomach ailments.
Very good. Yeah.
That's all I got. For some reason, that's all I got. But it wasn't like a brand name. Like, it didn't have like a trademark or anything. It was kind of like this generic kind of thing. I cannot remember where it came from, but it was just kind of this, like, it was almost like the ancestor of like Pepto-Bismol kind of thing. But of course, it is just absolutely filled with just like heroin and the left toe of a duck. And the umbilical cord of an indigenous person born in Boston or something like that. It was just like that.
That's a nice callback. Like, I like that.
Yeah, you like that? Thank you. That was for you. But yeah, it's like it was total nonsense. But honestly, at that period, at that time, especially during this time period, if you put enough opium in anything, people aren't hurting.
No. I think we sort of recognize that in the last 15 years that you put enough opium in anything. And I mean, people aren't hurting until they definitely are. But the good news is if you
it's a short hurt, then they're dead.
Yeah. And the good news is if you're the person who makes it, you suffer no consequences of any kind. Because
Hey. No. A $1.8 billion fine to a multi-billion-dollar global conglomerate, that's sending a message.
Yeah. Literally, we're going to take one of your cushions. Yeah, we're going to take one of the cushions from your lounge couch.
Yeah. And that message is, you're not going to be able to go out to lunch today.
Yeah. Human life is less valuable than you to us. That's our message.
Yeah.
Jason, great job. So Daffy's elixir is the name of a concoction used by several different patent medicines over the years. So you're correct. It is kind of a generic. It's like saying aspirin or whatever, right? It's like it isn't branded. It's just sort of the concept of the concoction. It was a popular remedy in Britain and then here in the United States through the 18th and 19th centuries, and created by clergyman Thomas Daffy of Red Mile, Leicestershire in 1647.
It's Leicestershire.
Well,
it
good.
Is Leicestershire.
See,
that's how you pronounce
that.
It.
You cured that for me.
No, it just means I'm whiter than you are. It's Leicestershire.
Well, I mean, I can see your blood actually coursing through.
I know, right? So. I just like...
but yeah, it was supposed to be for stomach stuff. It was purported to fix pretty much everything. So literally your stomach stuff, but also children's distempers, worms, rickets, stones, gripes, king's evil, joint evil.
Hell is king's evil.
Gout and rheumatism.
Hey, rheumatism and joint evil. I could have taken that. I would have fallen for it.
Dropsy and scurvy. It was, and apparently it was great for horses too. So Joe Rogan would totally support it. After Daffy died in 1680, the recipe was left to his daughter Catherine, and then it kind of got around. And basically, it just had a bunch of nonsense in it.
And that recipe turned into Herbalife.
So it included aniseed, brandy, cochineal, elecampane, fennel seed, jalap, manna, parsley seed, raisin, rhubarb, saffron, senna, and Spanish licorice.
What the hell is jalap?
Let's find out.
What the hell is
it's jalap? A cathartic drug largely obsolete in Western medicine.
No kidding.
It consists of the tuberous roots of Ipomea purga, a convolvaceous plant.
So it's shrooms.
In the Sierra Madre Oriental of Mexico. Yeah. Basically, like, what it comes down to is that it was just sort of a laxative that had a lot of alcohols from these things in it. And you would drink it and your stomach would feel better because you just get it all out.
You're high as balls and you don't know what's happening. It's the modern equivalent of taking like peyote, grinding it up and putting it into a bottle of Seagram's and going, this will cure your cancer. Yeah. And after about 20 minutes, you're not going to give a fuck about your cancer.
Yeah, you don't know what you got anymore or where you are.
Oh my God.
So great job. Great job on Daffy's elixir. Jason, 2 points. Laura, 1 point. So round number four. Jason, do you have a vague idea about Robert F. Kennedy Jr.?
You mean John? You mean why isn't he in Dallas? Supposedly?
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Yeah, RFKJR.
RFKJR. Christ, it was about it. I mean, he was a Kennedy, so he's got webbed feet.
You're really going for duck stuff lately.
Well, I mean, it's the easiest inbred mutation you can mention. You can kind of think about.
Plus, it makes sense. Like, you want to swim, especially if your plane crashes in the ocean.
You've just isolated your entire Dallas audience right now.
It cannot be too soon. It cannot be too soon.
Too soon. It's too soon. God, Bobby Kennedy Jr. with quack medicine, colloidal silver.
All right.
That's all I'm gonna say. Yeah, I got nothing.
You're gonna get a point because he does talk about supplements a fair amount. Laura, God. Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Huh. I was thinking when I heard Kennedy, I was thinking of the how he's, you know, I was thinking he was the one who was secretly waiting in the wings to help Trump get reelected. That whole thing.
Right.
But
to know that the news gets around.
Yeah.
Everybody knows the same nonsense.
They're still there. No, those people are still there at Daley Plaza today. They are still there waiting for a dead guy who was cremated to show up.
What we need to realize is that hopefully this will just turn into like a deadheads phenomenon or a fish fans phenomenon where it's just like, hey, these people are just going to follow Trump nonsense wherever it travels to. And
it's more harmless
than it is dangerous. That's my hope anyway.
Yeah. It's such a good, it's not good. It's really sad to see these are the people who would fall for like the traveling medicine shows and everything. They're still out there, even though we have science now. We have the scientific method and scientists and
all of this.
Trump is a traveling snake oil salesman, right? He goes around telling people that things can be a way that they aren't. Mm-hmm. And that it's easy. It's as easy as just waving his hand if you give him the ability.
Like a televangelist, like, you know, give me money and I'll pray for you and you'll be fine. It's all of the same thing. And those people still exist out there. No matter how evolved we think we are, there are these really gullible people out there. And it's so depressing. I forgot the question.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what I would like to say is that I think
Kennedy.
Yeah, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. But I would like to say that it's gullible people, but it's also like it's desperate people.
Yes.
It's that we've created a society that has so much desperation in it that people are searching for an answer and an escape. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of willing to take whatever kind of aligns with how they think the world should work, which means they're vulnerable. Like there's a victimization issue here that's happening that's you know, I think we just have to keep perspective. Like, it's one thing to be like, yeah, everybody's kooky and they're nutty and some of them are evil, but it's also like, hey, these people are also victims of a grift. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean that, I mean, we're all victims of a grift to a certain extent anyway.
Oh, totally.
You know, I spent the first 28 years of my life believing, thinking that American blah, blah, blah was just like, we were doing it right. And it's like, no, we're not doing it right. We're shitty. We've been shitty. We kill people with impunity. Our system's built that way. Anyway, that's a different story. Let's talk about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. So yeah, Laura, what do you think?
I don't know. I can't even think of anything. He's I don't even know if he's a dead or alive. I'm going to say he's dead, and the people are waiting for him to come back to peddle some supplements to them, some like special Kennedy brain supplements, so we can all be smart like the Kennedys.
Wow. A Kennedy brain supplement. Are you hearing what you're saying? A Kennedy brain supplement.
Yeah, Jason, she's not suggesting that they get a Kennedy driving over a bridge at night supplement.
No, you're missing the total point. A Kennedy brain supplement.
See,
you know, no. like lead.
No,
bullet shaped, a Kennedy brain supplement. Wow.
That goes back to that awesome injection thing that Ron Popeil made. Vague Idea After Dark. Okay. You each get 1 point because you both did talk about supplements in some way, and you opened the can of worms I was hoping to open. But Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is still alive. He is an American environmental lawyer, an author, and he is an anti-vaccine advocate.
Oh.
He has been touring the country since COVID started and appearing on Fox News. He's a purporter of this conspiracy that more people have died of the COVID vaccine than any other vaccine in history.
Well, to be fair, I understand where he's coming from. I mean, all joking aside, I actually kind of understand where he's coming from, because if I was a Kennedy, I would be terrified of shots.
Boom.
I'm going to let that hang. I'm going to let that was hang good. No. For a second. I'm going to let that hang there for a second.
We got that beat. So, I mean, what's interesting is like, he has a pretty cool environmental law career up until around like the 2000s. And then he gets big into all of this sort of alternative medicine stuff and the autism stuff. Like, he sort of gets on board with Jenny McCarthy's anti-vaccines autism thing.
It is a slippery slope if you're so I'm an environmental scientist, all right? And it's like, that's a hippie world in college. All these people are all these crazy hippies. You start hanging out with all of these weird people and think what they're out their views about crystals and stuff. And this was like university. This was like bachelor's degree. Like, this wasn't like, so it was like real environmental science, not like some, I'm a environmentalist, but it's like, you get into this certain mindset that is like the left-wing crazy stuff. And then when I had kids, I was like, at one point, this is like horrible to admit, but because I like to think of myself as a critical thinking kind of intelligent person, I was almost, when I first had my first daughter, I was like scared of vaccines because people were saying bad things about it. And so I can totally understand how like people in the environmental world, just because of like the catchphrases that get thrown around on that side and just the way of thinking sometimes, I can understand how you would fall into the anti-vaccine thing, because I nearly did it, which is horribly embarrassing. I was sleep deprived and terrified. Babies are scary things, so I just
I get it, and especially like I'm here in the Bay Area, like the epicenter of the anti-vax movement came out of Marin County. Not too far from me. Like, apparently people were listening to Dr. Jenny McCarthy, which is just, you got to be fucking kidding me.
Didn't you see her on her popular medical series Singled Out?
Oh yeah, she was amazing in that. Mm-hmm. but it's like, I get it. And I do on occasion run into people who are like total anti-vax. And my first question to them is where did you do your residency? That's my first question to them. And it's like, listen, I get it. Listen, I get it. I get big pharma. I totally get the whole thing of like, at any point, at any minute of any day, I can turn on the TV, I can go on YouTube and see videos, and it's going to be like two people in a bathtub holding hands, or like a butterfly floating along. And it's the, do you feel bad? Would you like to feel better? And then it's like a made up word with like nine consonants and four
try
vowels.
Try out hapnazon.
Right, exactly. It's like, I totally get that. Like, I get it. I get a big pharma. And that's, again, Nate, again, another soapbox is the, first of all, I don't think the pharmaceutical industry should be allowed to advertise to human beings that aren't doctors. Like, I shouldn't see an ad for whatever.
I completely agree.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. But beside that point, it is the whole thing of like, listen, yes, I get it. Big pharma is called big pharma for a reason. But guess what? Again, throwback, ginseng didn't cure fucking polio. And I'm gonna listen to a doctor who's got pitch, he's got things, he or she or it or they have things on their wall that said, I wasted so much money and so much time getting this knowledge, and I will pay off my college debt when I'm 80. But you have the knowledge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Well, and the thing I commonly run into too is that the argument tends to be like, oh, these pharmaceutical companies they're just money grubbing. They're coming up with ways to make more money here and there.
They are, but guess what? Yes. But
but the thing is that argument works for everything in capitalism.
Yes!
So if you believe that about that, you have to go, oh, well, big food. And big oil and big, everything's big.
Big water.
Everything's big and trying. Yeah. Everything is trying to take your money. And if you expect one of them to suddenly become noble because it's convenient for you to believe them, well, guess what? You're never going to find that. You should opt out of the system entirely. You should push for a nationalized system where maybe the pharmaceutical companies don't set their own drug prices. Maybe that's what you want.
Well, that's right. Socialism.
Right. I mean, but that's the thing, right? Is it, I mean, it, but anyway, yeah. So
yeah. Yes. Anyhow.
So Robert F. Kennedy. Yes. So he is the chairman of the Children's Health Defense, which was formerly known as the World Mercury Project. He founded this in 2016, and it is all about how the mercury in vaccines for children causes autism. He also believes it causes ADD, ADHD, food allergies, cancer, and autoimmune diseases.
Gout, dropsy, rickets, lazy nipple syndrome, and wandering hairline.
He has blamed fluoridation in drinking water as well as wireless communications as problems for this as well.
Dude, fluoride is old school. I got to give a little respect to him.
You got to go all the way back to Dr. Strangelove to get real deep in fluoride.
That is old school. That is old school. And you know what? Tiny bit of respect because, you know, fluoride, I mean, yeah, it's a mind control serum. Okay.
So he's been spreading misinformation about the COVID vaccine and about COVID-19. Even in 2019, Kathleen Kennedy Townsend, Joseph P. Kennedy, and Maeve Kennedy McKeon wrote an open letter stating that while their relative has championed many admirable causes, he has, quote, helped to spread dangerous misinformation over social media and is complicit in sowing distrust in the science behind vaccines.
Why hasn't he been John Jr. yet? You know, like put him on a plane and something's going to happen. I mean,
well, because he's only helping conservative nonsense causes, so he can't get assassinated. That's the way it works, Jason.
Suicided. No, it's suicide.
Right. He'll get it. Yeah. You're each getting 1 point on Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Ooh. And we're going to jump into our second game. It is time to play I See What You Did There.
And this is where I lose.
All right. So I See What You Did There. It's a wordplay game. Kind of before and after, kind of nonsense, kind of whatever I felt like doing at the time. So you will see what I did there. Laura, we're going to start with you.
Okay.
Number one, drench this Do You Think I'm Sexy singer with water, and you'll have the name of a long disputed witching invention.
Oh my gosh. I almost have it. What? Oh my gosh. That. All right. I'm thinking of that. I can't. Okay. I don't have words, but Rod Stewart, of course.
Uh-huh. Great. You got Rod.
That water finding thing? Is that what you're talking about?
I am talking about that water finding thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Shoot. I don't know. It's gone. I don't know.
I'm going to give you a point for getting the rod part, Laura, because Jason's going to get the other part. Jason.
Divining Rod Stewart.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have also accepted dowsing rod.
Or dowsing rods or divining rods. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good.
No, to be perfect, Laura, when we said, do you think I'm sexy? To be perfectly honest, the first thing that went, thank God you said Rod Stewart, because the first thing that went in my head is like, right said Fred. Wait, no, he didn't do, well, okay.
What's a divining Fred?
I don't know. Shut up.
So you're each getting 1 point for number one. Jason, number two. Try this Gwyneth Paltrow company's intravaginal health product with a heaping side of hollandaise. And what are you eating?
Oh, jade eggs Benedict.
You sure are. Yeah, it's a goop jade eggs Benedict. Very good. Very good. All right. Laura. You should definitely not eat your jade or yoni egg after insertion. Laura, number three. This half-silent stage duo's fake video game named for two hows in Magic was never released, but a 2008 gravity-defying parkour game was.
Whoa.
This is a hard one. I'm sorry. This is the hardest, weirdest one.
So many
let's,
words.
Let's try to unwind this together. Okay. This half-silent stage duo.
Yes. That is... Is that Penn and Teller? Is one of them silent?
Yes, Penn and Teller is the half silent stage duo. Great, so you got Penn and Teller.
All righty.
Had a fake video game.
Okay.
And that fake video game was named for two hows in Magic.
Oh.
H-O-W's in Magic. And that game was never released.
Uh-huh.
But a 2008 gravity-defying parkour game was released. So you got Penn and Teller.
Mm-hmm.
Penn and Teller's something.
Shoot, I don't know. I have no idea.
All right, Jason.
Nope.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing.
I'm gonna give Laura a point just for getting Penn and Teller. So the answer I'm going for was Penn and Teller's Smoke and Mirrors Edge. All right. So there was a video game that was supposed to come out called Penn and Teller's Smoke and Mirrors. So Penn and Teller's Smoke and Mirrors was a gimmick video game for the, I think the Sega CD that you would buy the game and you would play it as the owner with a tutorial that told you how to set the game up so that when your friend came over, you would fuck with them by having the game do something. So you would do something as simple as entering the friend's birthday in advance and then having the friend play a game where Penn and Teller ask them questions that should not be able to figure out what their birthday is. And then Penn and Teller would tell them their birthday. There was also a game called Desert Bus, which is the only one that's really been released for emulation. But it was a game where you drove from Reno to Las Vegas, I think, in a bus in real time. So you had to drive for like 3.5 hours in a bus doing nothing. The only mechanic in the game was that the bus kind of veered to the left. So you had to adjust it every once in a while, but there was no traffic and you had to drive. And the whole point was the more times that you could make this trip back and forth, you get a point each time. And Penn and Teller were supposed to give you like a cool ride on an actual bus full of showgirls and booze and drugs and everything. If you scored the most points out of everyone, but to do that, you would literally have to spend hundreds of hours of real time doing this asinine drive back and forth between Reno and Las Vegas.
Six people played that game.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it never came out. So it was one of those things where like Desert Bus.
No kidding.
Desert Bus got an emulator. But yeah, it's interesting. Dig into the wiki about it because it's kind of fun. And then Mirror's Edge was a game that came out in 2008. You played as a woman who can sort of like parkour run on buildings and defy gravity by running up and down the sides of buildings and stuff like that. So there's unwinding what I did there. great job. Jason, number four, technically not even primate. You might still make ill-fated wishes on a detached limb of these pets. And I'm saying pets in air quotes.
What? Say again. What?
Technically not even primates.
Republicans.
You might still make ill-fated wishes on a detached limb from these pets. Remember, we're talking about snake oil.
Oh shit. Is it Monkey Paw Patrol?
Oh man, you got Monkey's Paw. It's not Monkey's Paw Patrol though. Laura, damn, do you have it. A guess?
Can you say it again?
Yeah, technically not even primates. You might still make ill-fated wishes on a detached limb of these pets.
Is it in order? Like, is the first one you said the first one?
Yeah, I mean, they're technically not even primates.
Yeah, but like, so the monkey's paw is first?
Well, monkey's paw is second, yeah.
Oh, okay.
You're looking for something to precede monkey's paw.
Oh, okay. Is it sea? Sea
monkey? It is sea monkey's paw. Very good, Laura. Very good. Yeah. I'm going to give you each a point because Jason got the monkey's paw. You got the sea part. But yeah, did you ever have sea monkeys? I had several batches of sea monkeys in my life.
I wanted them, but no, I never got any.
They're pets. You got to feed them. You got to feed them.
They're alive. Yes. I mean, that is to say that if you have cockroaches, they're pets because they have to eat something.
No. If you specifically feed them,
I guess then they're pets. Cockroaches find their way. But sea monkeys are weird and totally not monkeys, and they totally don't look like the adorable cartoon that you get on the box.
I'm waiting for that class action lawsuit. I'm just waiting for it to happen.
All right. Hey, now from the makers of Pommes ou Pommes de Terre, it's Le Chose Francais Arbitraire. That's the arbitrary French thing. And the only thing that's French about it is the name. So I want you each to think like a greedy jerk for a moment. What product, Jason just raised his eyebrows as if that's
shut up.
Old
shut
hat.
Up, you. Shut up, you.
I didn't even say anything mean. You're thinking like a greedy jerk for a moment. What product would you sell if you were a snake oil salesman or salesperson?
Laura, would you like to go first?
Oh, I'm still, I don't have anything yet.
Okay. I would sell I'm assuming y'all are familiar with like North Face and Patagonia and things like that. Way overpriced, quote unquote, outdoor gear.
Yeah.
That should do that. I would sell a Patagonia style vest, you know, one of those puffy vests that blocks 5G influence from the Jewish space lasers that Bill Gates controls. And I would market it on Joe Rogan's podcast.
I mean, that's really a winning combination.
And I will retire in 9 minutes.
All right. I have one.
All right.
It is, it's a supplement. You add it to other people's drinks or food or what have you to make them switch to your political side. So like the Republicans will all buy it and slip it in their liberal family members' food. And this is timely for Thanksgiving. And in hopes that they can finally bring their liberal friends and family around to see the light. And that's what I would do.
A literal red pill.
Yes.
So conservative Rohypnol.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
I kind of feel like Rohypnol's already sort of aligned with at least a conservative patriarchal viewpoint of dating.
No. It's only aligned with Stanford lacrosse players. So it's fine. So.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Very good. I love both of those and I'm horrified by both of them equally. Jason, would it surprise you to know that there's already a product called 5G BioShield that exists?
There is.
And it was going to be the final topic until you said your wonderful thing. And I was like, well, this is too obvious a name. Whoa. So I'm going to change to something else.
Well, it was either going to be my $1,000 puffy vest that prevents 5G things. It was either going to be that, or it was going to be tactical bathroom wipes that actually cures COVID.
I love it.
Both on Joe Rogan's podcast.
Joe really will take anybody. I mean, if anybody wants to come on this show instead of his, that I would gladly accept some people. Hey, you're each getting 2 points for Les Choses Francaises Arbitraires. Very good. Very good. And so I need to let you both know you are going into the final topic tied
at
13 points each. Lucky 13. Ooh. So anything, literally anything could happen. And it already has, because the final topic will be very different than what it was going to be. So Laura,
yes,
for the final topic, do you have a vague idea about screen mist?
Screen mist.
Screen mist.
It is a liquid that you spray on your electronics to stop, you know, like Bill Gates and all the other bad tech internet type people from spying on you.
Okay.
That there we go. That's what it is.
That's very good. Very good. Jason, anything to add about screen mist?
It sounds like a knockoff soda from like Eastern Europe.
Sierra Mist translated incorrectly.
Right, wrong. Yeah, like Google Translate totally fucked it up and they're like, oh, this screen mist is good. Oh, diet screen mist. This is good. Screen mist. Is that, I have to get comfortable to pull this out of my ass. Is it that there's actual brain damage, like a mist, a fog forms in your brain by staring at computer screens and phones too many time. Very similar to like Joe versus the volcano, where he's got the brain cloud. But this is brain mist or screen mist, and that causes it. I got nothing. I think Laura's gonna get this one.
I mean, Jason, you're really close. I'm going to give each of you 1 point. So this episode will end in a beautiful tie.
Oh my!
So screen mist.
That's our first tie.
Screen mist is a product that you're supposed to spray to protect you from electromagnetic radiation and pollution. Because
pollution coming from your screen?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, coal. And
here's the thing. It causes premature aging. It causes, mental failure and backup. It basically is just like all the things that are bad come from the screen.
And the mist stops what glass or whatever can't.
This is the thing that you apply, because clearly companies are selling us screens that are just shooting toxic amounts of electromagnetic radiation all the time. Mm-hmm. And someone needed to step in with a $40 per bottle solution.
How many ounces?
It literally, you cannot. The link is broken now. So somebody figured it out.
Amazing.
Fuck, I am in the wrong profession.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, my question I have about when it comes to screen mist, like I said, it filters out all of the toxins and the radiation and all that kind of stuff. If I were to go to Facebook and I were to then spray it on my screen, would I see any comments on any of my posts?
I mean, I it doesn't say that it gets rid of that. It's just going to make you feel younger. Oh, that kind
of toxin.
Yeah. You're just going to feel and look younger. Now, of course, it's important to note that the common causes of premature aging include not wearing sunscreen and smoking a lot, drinking too much, etc. Not necessarily looking at a screen. Not that we should look at screens forever. We should probably get the hell outside sometimes too. But hot damn, $40.
Maybe it's sunblock. Maybe there's like UVF or whatever in the spray. And
maybe it's just some guy's bathtub water from Pittsburgh and he's putting it in a bottle going, this will help you.
Now, what
that
they
could
said,
also be true.
They claimed that there was a magnetic defense complex that included Rhodiola rosea and Thermus thermophilus, which I'm sure are real words and not just Latin that someone made up, a la J.K. Rowling in the Harry Potter series.
Thermophilius or Thermos Theraphilius?
Thermos Thermophilius.
God damn it.
What was the other one?
Rosea. Apparently, Thermus thermophilus is a gram-negative bacterium.
It is used in a range of biotechnical applications, including as a model organism for genetic manipulation. Genetic manipulation. This has to do with the reptilians and their master plan.
Oh, the other one is in
now
like
we're through the looking glass.
Oh my God! It's found to be important in the degradation of organic materials and in the composing. Da da da. What? Just applications? None.
Oh, none the other one is whatsoever. An herb that
of course it is
helps the body adapt to stressors, whether emotional, mental, physical, or even environmental. Oh, also hair loss. It helps with hair loss, or or the opposite. No, never mind. Nope, actually, no, it doesn't. I read that wrong. Yeah.
Our secret ingredient is nucleated chalk. Like, what? Oh my God.
So that's the show, guys. You have tied at 14 points. Congratulations. You're both technically winners this week, which I mean, that means that I sold snake oil at the beginning of the show by saying that someone might win.
Lovely.
Wow.
Is there anything anyone would like to plug?
Well, I have, I don't know. I'm always plugging my books. How to Break an Evil Curse is my most recent one. And this is not going to be aired soon. So by the time this is on, I imagine the sale will be over. But there was a sale for the book I contributed to called Dead of Winter.
If it's still on sale by this coming Sunday, this will be current.
You know what?
Wow.
On time now.
I think it's 99 cents for the ebook. Whoa. And I have a short story in there. They're supposed to be horror. They're like it's like short stories for like Christmas or, you know, winter, just generally the winter season, stories revolving around that. Mine is about a Santa situation. I really cannot write horror. So it's much more funny than horror, and they stuck it at the end of the book. Well, it's kind of like
is there an audio?
What's that?
Is there an audio component to it?
No, but it's really good. The other ones are scary. Mine is not so much scary. Get that for 99 cents.
Hell yeah.
And I also have a Grimbargo, which was
Space Boy put that one out.
That was my first book. Yeah.
It is a fantastic book.
I thought it was pretty fun. That was my first sci-fi, only sci-fi so far. Ooh. And what else? I guess I can stop plugging my books. I have so darn many, but
you got real problems with having so many books.
I know it's rough. It's rough.
You really should, listener. Check out all of Laura's work. It's always good. It's fun. And if you have a negative experience with the writing style, you don't need to say anything about it. Just put the book down and go about your business.
That's right. There are some people who do not like my writing style. I'm too silly.
Yeah. Pick up a bottle of Screen Mist and just live your life. Jason, anything you want to plug?
So I'm not going to be a corporate shill like the two of you.
Corporations, Jason. That's very important.
Oh yeah, that is true. That is true. We are corporations. And since this is actually a rapid kind of turnout, for all y'all who had to go to Thanksgiving dinner here in the States with potentially interesting family members, I just want to say I'm very proud of you for not just screaming go fuck yourself and then storming out of the room. it's like patience is a beautiful thing, and get the booster shot. We've got ours set up coming up real soon. Get that booster. Let's end this waking nightmare. And the last thing that I will say is very, very topical, is I'm very glad the horrifying murder trial in Georgia.
Yes.
That there is a glimmer of justice.
Yes.
There's a glimmer of justice, and that all of that is reprehensible, and anyone who has any of those type of ideologies that that people of color and the Black community and the Asian community and the Latinx community and any type of marginalized community are less than human beings, well, you can go fuck yourself because the courts are ruling against you and your time's coming. Mm-hmm. We're not dealing with this anymore.
Very well said.
Yeah.
Very well said. Yes.
So there you go.
Yeah.
I got a plug. Decent humanity.
Be human beings. Let's do the thing where as we go into the holiday season, we actually act like the things we say we believe in around the holiday season.
Mm-hmm. Also, by the way, coming up this Friday, just because you got that 65-inch TV doesn't justify the fact that you probably stepped on the neck of a grandmother. So true. Probably don't do that.
Yeah.
Just stick to your Black Friday rage by constantly refreshing Amazon.com. I mean, just do it that way. No one gets hurt. Yeah. Other than you.
Or at very least, step on someone 25 years or younger. They will bounce back immediately. I will say, my wife and I got boosted 3 weeks ago now. Fantastic. Yep. I mean, because we were J&J people. Yep. It's nice to feel like I'm protected. I'm still wearing masks in most places. Mm-hmm. I know that several cities are going back into mandatory mask mandates. Mm-hmm. We just got to do it. It's getting bad.
Have you guys seen Michigan? Oh my gosh. Michigan is the worst right now.
Yeah.
My state is the worst for COVID right now. My youngest daughter is finally, she was in the younger category. So she only has just been able to be vaccinated in these past few weeks. And on the 26th of this month, we are getting her second vaccine. I'm so happy.
Yay!
So we are all, my husband and I have had our boosters. My older daughter's been vaccinated already. My little one is going to be on the 26th. So we're going to be as up to date as we possibly can. And I'm so happy.
That is wonderful.
These vaccines are not about you. These vaccines are not about you. These vaccines are about everybody. It's about those who can't. It's about those who can't have them, whether because they're immunocompromised or whether that they are babies. It is not about you. And I'm really sorry that if your arm hurts, but you cannot ignore this because it's not about you.
Mm-hmm.
Damn right. Yep. On a lighter note, if you like this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. You can also check out the other podcasts on our network. We have Roll for Blank Streets of Mage, our Dungeons & Dragons podcast. We also have Funky Spunk covering Sex and the City. They'll be back. Check them out. Look for them. And we also have the Hard Pick Mining Company covering the Denver Nuggets basketball season. And the Denver Five are back talking about the Nuggets. You can also check out Michael J. O'Connor's music if you like our theme song, because he just released an album, a live album of a performance he did at a venue in Portland, Oregon. And it is great. He's just good at music and you should listen to it because guess what? There are a lot of people who are really talented who you are not supporting. And that will be my other plug is this holiday season. Yes, go buy your 65-inch TV, but also consider just spending a little money with a person you know who makes stuff. Because they're actually making it and it's probably going to get right into their hands or closer to it than if you buy, I don't know, even two tickets to the new Marvel movie. No one there is getting a sliver of that money the way that if you buy someone's artwork, their writing, their music, it's very meaningful. So that's my plug. And yeah, everybody get your boosters, get vaccinated if you're not. Let's just do this thing. So, hey. We have all had a vague idea about snake oil this week, and that is a good thing, because the devil is in the details. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Toodaloo.
The Vague Idea is written and produced by me, Nate Regolian, Ms. Shannon Page, and sometimes John Peros. Information about topics often come from Wikipedia, so hey, why not donate a bit to that? Sound effects are Creative Commons public domain. If you like this podcast, tell a few people, and subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. And if you happen to like reading science fiction, check out the small press I started with my friend Sean Grokowski. You can find Spaceboy books at readspaceboy.com.